This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. So happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Susanna Marin. You were on before, and we talked about your other book, and so it was, so much fun that you came back. Last time you were here to talk about your nonfiction book. Today we're talking about Maribel's Shadow. Which is
exactly, that's my new book.
Your new book, which
just out.
It's really exciting that your work on the one side, you do nonfiction book studying women, doing really in-depth research on women's issues, and then you've now turned this also into a wonderful opportunity for you to write fiction.
Yes, this is my fourth novel, and definitely my fiction reflects my research on how women really feel in real time as mothers, wives, sisters, friends, foes, rivals, lovers. And so, I'm really looking at the truth about how women feel.
And you certainly grasp onto that, because as Susanna Shapiro Barash, which is your name, of course, for your nonfiction, your research is well known. Last time you were here, we were talking about affairs. And so it was interesting that when I got this book, of course, there are affairs in this book.
there is always an affair, because based on my research, interviewing a diverse group of women across the country, all different ages, social strata, religion, level of education, race, there are more affairs than anyone really believes, because women really long for whatever it is they long for. And if you're not happy in a marriage, or you're unhappy with your granddaughter or your daughter or your husband or a friend or a colleague, I take all that I've listened to and I put it into the novel. So this novel, Maribel Shadow, Just Out, is truly a dicey story, a mystery. It's about three adult daughters and their mother, who is someone who's very socially ambitious, and it's all about their family secrets. And no spoiler here, but within the first 15 pages, Maribel's husband dies suddenly. And after he dies, everyone's secret, their truth, their behavior, all of it is revealed. So it's really a story about the price we pay once we're kind of outed.
And as I said, your previous book, when you were on, A Passion for More, was... I had a lot of response from my listeners, because you had a deep sort of dive into statistics about how women felt about affairs. And so in this book, now we have affairs, and it's one of these reads that I think women will really enjoy, because, as you said, we have the story of Maribel. And do you want to explain a little bit more about her story?
So Maribel is the eldest of the three Barrow sisters, and they live in Palm Beach. And I purposely chose Palm Beach. It's the third of my Palm Beach novels, because Palm Beach is such a beautiful, rarefied place. And we say to ourselves, how can anything go wrong in a place of privilege? Isn't that, in a capitalistic society, all that we really yearn for? But in fact, once Samuel dies, Maribel's husband, the truth seeps out, and nothing is ever what it seems. And so Maribel and her two younger sisters are very ambitious, and so is their mother, as I mentioned. And each of them has, each is looking for an escape route from the life that they have, even though we would look from the outside and say, wow, beauty, privilege, homes, all of the, glittering prizes, handsome husbands, little children. So everyone has a motive. And then we ask ourselves, what really happened to Samuel, and who was he? And that's one of my favorite themes. Who are we really when push comes to shove? each of us, and how do we navigate a path? What is survival for women, emotionally, financially? How do we get through? So each woman is really, each, you know, the three sisters and their mother are really put to the test. So I'm being told it's a very fast-paced book. We don't really know what happened, and so, you know, it's a mystery, and it's all about longing.
And you're right. From the outside, one, for people who, you know, don't live in that environment, they look at it and they think, well, life is perfect for them because they can shop all day. You know, that's sort of the image that we get of people in you know, places like Palm Beach. That, well, how can you be, you have a manicure and a pedicure, you have massages, you can shop all day as much as you want, and even have a tennis instructor. But
How could there be petitions among the sisters? How could the mother have an agenda? How could Samuel have not really been the perfect husband? What were his secrets? So this is really what it's about. And then what do we do when we're put to the test? You know, what are the sacrifices? Who do we out? Who do we protect? So this is what happens to each of the three sisters, and all the while, what really happened to Samuel that morning.
Well, you're a fine writer, and so you really paint the picture for us. Tell us, you really bring us there. And I think that's part of the fun, why, of course, they call these summer reads that you take to the pool and you just read. And actually, you better take suntan lotion if you take this book, because you probably won't want to stop, and you just keep turning the pages. So I think that's a great compliment to writers like you who write these books that capture an audience, capture somebody's mind, and they're so enthralled with it. And it is a sort of a dream kind of world for a lot of people. They can't imagine being that rich. They can't imagine really,
And for this family, it's particularly meaningful when they're, the fodder of gossip in Palm Beach, because they actually do come from nothing, and their past is revealed as well. So how do women reinvent themselves? And, you know, what steps do we take to do that, and at what price? And so, you know, that, again, is part of the story. The mother, Lucinda, who is sort of an intriguing character, if I say so myself. So what about Lucinda? And, you know, what really happened, you know, when they didn't live in Palm Beach, and how did they get there? So, you know, on top of everything else, women are very judged, and my characters are judged. Once there's the accident and Samuel suddenly dies, then the Barrows family is really judged by everyone in town. And women are pleasers, and based on my nonfiction, women really yearn to belong and to be part of a group and to not be judged. So it's very harsh, and that also plays out in this novel. You know, what do we do once everything seems that was seemed safe is no longer safe? How do women prevail? How do they navigate a path?
Now, who were your literary influences? What authors influenced you the most?
I'm very influenced by Edith Wharton, Kate Chopin, Thomas Mann. Contemporary authors I really appreciate as well. I love to read the summer reads of famous women authors. I'll always read Ellen Hildebrand's newest book. And I just read Hello, Beautiful. And I thought that was a really interesting book by Anne Neapolitano. And I'm always reading. I was very, very lucky because my mentor and thesis advisor for my graduate degree was E.L. Doctorow. So Ed Doctorow, who wrote Ragtime and, of course, is so famous, was my teacher. And he always said to me, look, you can write fiction and nonfiction. You should do both. And so I have. But he taught me so much.
Wow. That's a great mentor.
Oh, unbelievable. Really unbelievable. And I've taught writing for over 20 years at Marymount Manhattan College. So I've been part of, you know, the writing department, and I my topic, you choose the topic the way it's structured there, and my topic was gender. So I've long been fascinated by the faces women wear versus how they really feel.
Well, you know, when this sort of title that you've been given or you take of being, what do you call yourself, a gender...
I think gender expert. Sometimes, you know, they'll say a gender expert. Just someone who has studied all these years how women are positioned in society, and men as well. You know, what are the societal scripts for us? You know, what are we told to do? What's expected behavior? What do we feel we must appear as? You know, the good girl. Very interested in the role of the good girl. And again, that circles back to Maribel's shadow, because this family prided itself on being an exemplary family. But once the secrets are revealed and we figure out what really happened, you know, everything is different. But women thrive to not be judged and to appear a certain way. And it's certainly true for the sisters. And I'm fascinated by the sisters' bond. I'd written a nonfiction study years ago called Sisters Devoted or Divided. And so that's very interesting to me.
Yes, I think that plays a big part in this story, this connection of sisters and the dynamics that go into it.
What's favoritism? Why does Lucinda, the mother, play one sister against the other? And how common is that? Very common. Because I did a whole study on mothers and daughters called You're Grounded Forever, But First Let's Go Shopping. And in that study, I interviewed mothers of, you know, daughters who were 3 years old to over 30. And, you know, family systems and who the mother identifies with or embraces, you know, oh my goodness, my daughter's the cheerleader, she's the popular one, I never was. Or, oh my God, my daughter's the cheerleader, the popular one, and I was too. So how does the mother's, identification with her daughters play out? And so that's a part of this novel too. You know, how does Lucinda really feel about each daughter?
Now, does it worry you at all that, I mean, when this is sort of, the marketing is geared that it's a woman's book, and men aren't going to read it. Does that bother you?
No, but I think men should read it.
I'm worried about
fiction. You know, that's a big conversation. You know, what is it about fiction written about women that it becomes, like it's only prescribed for women? We're only expected to read these novels if we're female. I think, you know, that there's this like gender typing and gender casting of the books we read, particularly in the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, commercial women's fiction. Oh, you know, thrillers for men. Right?
I'm sort of against this, really. Because, I mean, Flaubert didn't write Madame Bovary for women. he just didn't
write. Well, it's interesting. Let's just talk about that for a minute. You know, Tolstoy writing Anna Karenina and Flaubert writing Madame Bovary, and both women come to a very unhappy ending, which, of course, is the opposite of what my research yields about real women in contemporary society and affairs, which is that, you know, they end up kind of claiming what they need and want in this life. In truth, the other affair novel of that time is by Kate Chopin, whom I mentioned a little while ago as a favorite writer and of mine. And there you go. You know, that affair in The Awakening also comes to a bad ending. So possibly, with my gender cap on, what we're looking at is how things have changed for women. Not enough, but definitely I'm interested in women having more agency. And clearly in this novel, every one of the female characters has a voice.
Yeah, the strength comes through, but I do, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, you know, maybe men should read this book too, you know.
Well, I would hope so.
You know, because they'd learn something.
There's no question.
And that's really part of reading. And just like if there's a thriller book, I'm just as likely to read that as I would a book that is not, they're now marketing as gender specific. It's a woman's book. And I'm not sure I like that. I mean, I think women would pick it up, but who knows? A man might pick it up too and enjoy it.
I agree with you, and I think that it's really got to be more opened up. But the way that the books are marketed is such that we feel that, you know, this is for women to enjoy and this is for men to enjoy. And there's such a gender divide in our society anyway. We live in a very gendered culture, so, you know, gendered, you know, society. And so this just sort of feeds into it. But I believe that the suspense of this novel and the mood of this novel and the reveal of the novel would appeal, I hope, to any reader, you know, male or female.
Well, I do. There is the mystery aspect that I'm sure the guys would like just as much as we do. It's just like women are half the readers for Lee Child and Andrew Child's Jack Reacher books. You know, so they're not
right. That's a good point. I really appreciate that point. And I think for John Grisham as well. And, you know, this sort of allowance that you're allowed to read these books because even though they're women's books or men's books, I think is maybe what confuses us a little bit. But for Maribel Shadow, my publicist told me that this book is actually, I think she coined the phrase, authentic fiction. She said, Susanna, because my nonfiction is written under my real name, right? Susan Shapiro Barish, and my novels come out under Susanna Marin. And she said, look, you know, this book is authentic fiction. It's based on your, you know, 30 years of research on how women are really feeling and what they endure and what their experiences are. You know, in the aggregate, I've interviewed thousands of women, 13 nonfiction issue books, and you know, women's issue books, and so, you know, this is reflected in the novel.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. I remember when I first started, and I interviewed C.J. Box, and a lot of men said, well, I'm not reading C.J. Box because that's some woman is using an initial, so we don't know that it's a woman. And I said, no, C.J. Box, turn the book over and you'll see he's a big cowboy with a big cowboy hat. He's, you know, he's not writing women's fiction. He's writing fiction that actually women love because in his books, C.J. Box's books, the women are very strong. His women are so strong in the books. They are adventure books set in the West, but you know everybody reads his books, and I hope that, you know, perhaps we can, you know, encourage women. When you finish this book by the pool, shove it over to a guy.
What a great idea! And I hope that, you know, women who are listening will know that I'm very interested in doing reading groups in real time, virtual time, and love speaking for any sort of women's group. But I agree that, you know, strong female characters written by a man or a woman writer are very valuable and very representative of what really goes on. We are strong.
Exactly. And I think everybody should enjoy this book, and they would. All they have to do is get it, and it's coming out. We're a few days early, right? It's
comes out June 27th.
Yeah, 27th, because that's why I had you on a week early, because I'm going to be out of town, and I wanted to make sure that I got you in so that I can tell people, get pre-order, because pre-ordering, by the way, people, is a nice thing to do for an author, right?
Oh, it's wonderful. You can go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or ask your local bookseller. It would be great.
And then after, of course, put a review on wherever you buy the book, because that is also a nice thing to do. And
I always appreciated, yeah, by the writer. Yeah.
Exactly. I encourage you know, my listeners to do that, because now that they understand the sort of the algorithm of these online bookstores, that it really helps if they go ahead and do a review. So I'm sure that you'll get a lot of nice reviews for this book. It's very well written. The story's fascinating. The dynamics between the mother and the three daughters is definitely interesting, and I think it's very enjoyable book. So again, it's of course I have to say that your name is Suzanne Shapiro Barash, right? I've got it right.
And the novel is written under the name Susanna Marin.
Susanna Marin, but
Maribel Shadow.
Yeah, and they can go to your website though, which is under your Barash
either
name.
If you just hit either name,
and you have all your books there, and particularly people, you can check out some of her nonfiction books. She's got a ton of them. You're a busy person.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, it's been fun talking to you, Susanna, or yes, Suzanne, whatever. It's always a joy to talk to you. And the name of the book is Maribel's Shadow. Sisters shouldn't be playing these games. Oh, but oh boy, they do. And people, you will enjoy this book. And again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And I'm going to be talking to Diane soon, which I will send her your regards.
Tell her, yes, that we talked the same day. How great. In fact, we're doing an event together, a virtual event in July.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Well,
yeah, so again, it works out really well.
And I get to talk a lot about Palm Beach. Okay. Great talking to you. Take care.
Great talking to you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.